Morning, Sanyam Chapel. We are so happy to be here, and it is really a true honor. So thank you for having us, and thank you to some friends and family that drove a long way to be here this morning, too. I get to bring some greetings from our family who's not here. We were called as a family to go overseas, to go and serve overseas. And so if you can put the first slide on, a few of you were there, and you'll remember us looking like this. This was 20 years ago. Hope Church, Albany First Assembly, sent us to Mozambique to work as Bible translators. And so that was us, a couple of fresh-faced kids with Henry, Andrew, and Eleanor. And the next slide. And a few years later, God added in Benjamin into the mix there, and one more. So here's the kids today, young adults who counted a privilege to have grown up in Mozambique, in Africa, and we left them all in South Africa to study for their final exams, otherwise we'd make them get up here and sing for you. But I just want to say, if God is stirring in your heart, whatever age or stage you're at, to serve overseas and you have questions about what that looks like, I'd love for you to come and talk to me. I'd love to pray with you. And answer questions as I can. And my prayer for this week is just for all of us, that God would stir up our hearts by His Holy Spirit in a compelling way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our neighbor and with the world, and that His name would be glorified. And so thank you for having us here. I am going to slip out and have a little fun with the kids for a few minutes, if you'll excuse me.
Good. Thank you, Hillary. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I have one cough drop that's going to keep my voice going. So when that cough drop is gone, I'll just stop, okay? So that's good news for you, I'm sure. So I'm going to put this mic down. It is, as Hillary said, really fabulous to be here, to get to start the missions conference in Lyons. And I grew up practically next door in Jefferson, and so I know all about small towns and not logging communities, but farming community anyhow. And so I feel very comfortable here. And so when I got to hear that I got to be here first, I got to be here with Pastor Tim and Cheryl and that drummer back there. I was very happy. Stan was my family doctor when I was a baby. Okay, and I've almost forgiven him for those shots that he gave me, almost. He's a good friend now and mentor, somebody I really admire. So we have a few minutes to talk to you about the vision that God gave us for Africa. And I'm going to be talking a lot about vision this morning, and I want you to focus in on that, keep that concept in mind. There's so many people I want to greet and say hi to, but I'm not going to. Hi, everybody. But there's too many of you, and so I love you, and thank you for coming and supporting me, and appreciate that, because I need all the help I can get. So I want to talk to you about vision this morning and the vision God birthed in us and the vision that He is has given to you or is getting ready to give to you. The Bible says that in Proverbs 29, without a vision, the people perish. Humans have to have a vision. Without a vision, we can't live. We can't exist. It drives our existence. It motivates our day-to-day existence. It energizes getting out of bed in the morning and getting to work, because we have a vision of what we're doing in this life. And so I'm going to talk to you about how God has done that in our lives and how in the process He has shown me something about the resources that He is going to use to fulfill that vision. So let's see where we are in slides. Go ahead, next slide, please. So I've already done it. In Africa, we call it Little Zebra Books. And I'll have to always remember in America to say Little Zebra Books. So Little Zebra Books is a mission that we were inspired to start about 5 years ago. And it really came out of a missions convention Yeah, it was the missions convention in 2012. So what I'm going to tell you about now is what's happened since then. Okay. But I want to first step back even farther to 2007. You can go to the next slide. And this, what you're seeing here is pictures of our kids, and I think I'm in the background as well there, in a small African village in Mozambique. At that time in 2007, our family was working as Bible translators. We were missionaries in the country of Mozambique, bringing the Bible to a people that had never had it in their own language. It was a brand new translation of the Bible. Can you imagine? It's an incredible honor that we had. It was a really fun job. I got to translate the Bible, work with these Mozambican men of God, and wrestle with how do you express God's word in a new language. So it was an incredible opportunity. By 2007, we had translated quite a lot of the Bible. Quite a lot of the New Testament, at least. And as part of our time in Mozambique, we were living in this little village called Dinti. We lived for a while in a grass-roofed hut, mud walls. It was about 5 meters across. And it was just, we were doing the African thing. And it was an amazing opportunity that we had to be out living the rural African life. And it was Easter 2007. And I remember so clearly how God was speaking to my heart during that time, because we were preparing for Easter. Our kids were coloring eggs, right? And we were getting ready to have hot cross buns, and we were having little evening devotions. This is our family. There's no Christians around for us to even meet with. And the evening, things would get dark. There's no electricity. There's no lights out there. We were, our little house that we had was lit by solar lights. And you would hear the drums start in the background. And all through the night, while we were thinking about the Lord's death and his resurrection and reading God's word and meditating on what Easter means to us, people were gathering around fires, beating on drums, calling out to ancestral spirits and to demonic spirits, asking for spiritual help. And I just remember thinking, God, here we are with God, your word. I've been translating the Bible for 7 years now, and I don't have anything to share with them. So I came up with this great idea, which I thought was a great idea at the time. And that was, I made this little book, which in the local language said, "What is Easter?" Okay. And so I took this book and I made it on my printers black and white and printed it out and made 50 copies of it. And then we went down to the school on Good Friday and started handing these books out to kids. And this was our attempt to somehow get God's word out to children in a language they could understand. And it was a really ugly booklet. And it was just like clip art and you know, the text, nothing fancy about it. But it was at that time probably the largest printing ever for that language, Chinyungwe. So coming out of that experience, we were inspired to think about what are we going to do, not just to translate God's word, but to make it available in a format that people can access. So we're going to look at a video, and this will give you more of a background on Little Zebra Books, and then I'll continue. So that vision that we had back there in 2007 is now being fulfilled. And we have started producing these books that are producing by dozens of books now, and I'll try to show all these to you. These are available, that suddenly going from no books or only having 50 copies of this little black and white book, we now have dozens of books that we're producing in languages, across Mozambique that are introducing kids to, God's Word. Isn't that cool? So these books, I'm going to spend some time telling you about these books and how we use them a little bit later. But I'll just show you quickly. It's actually a single strip of paper, and you hold it here on this edge, and then you just start opening it up, and it's just like a little book. And so because of this format, we can produce them for pennies. And we and that's what we do. So we're based in Cape Town, producing hundreds of thousands of books now and shipping them off to Mozambique. And soon we're going to be sending them off to Angola, Botswana, Zambia. So it's expanding quite rapidly. So this is the vision that we had, to see kids receiving God's word in their own language. And now, as you can see in the photos and the videos and things, it's happening. And that's really exciting for us. So the next slide, please. So we have volunteers that are working in Mozambique that go into communities and start up reading groups. So they work with kids every week, sharing these books. And one of the things that we do with these books is every child gets to take a book home. So that, because of their low-cost format, we're producing them in the thousands, kids get to take a book home, and then their whole family sees it. So the young lady that you see standing in the middle of this huge crowd of kids here is named Veronica. And Veronica is one of the first volunteers that started using our books and just became passionate about working with children. She has, I was just in Mozambique speaking with her last month. She said, "It's such an emotional thing for me to get to work with these children. Before Little Zebra Books, I had no way to minister to children. And now the kids come to my house every day. And they're always coming by and wanting books, and they want to share." She, as a Christian, is able to share God's word with kids who otherwise would never see it. So it's just opened up an incredible ministry opportunity for people like Veronica to share God's word. Next slide. I think really to understand why this is revolutionary and important, you have to understand the context of a place like Mozambique. And Mozambique is not unusual from much of Africa. Most children in Africa go to school from the earliest grades, learning in a language they don't speak. And so I just try to understand what that means. So if, for example, our kids here, going to school and, speaking English at home, and once they get to school, everything's in Korean. And that's all they get. Korean books, Korean teaching, Korean mathematics. How well would they learn? Okay. And that is the challenge that is generalized across Africa. And there are reasons for that. There's lots and lots of languages, at least 1,000 or up to 2,000 languages in Africa spoken. So it is a challenge to provide books and materials for all those languages. But as you can see in this classroom, we have a bunch of, these are grade 3 students, and they are learning in Portuguese. Portuguese is the national language of Mozambique, and these children don't speak Portuguese any more than you and I probably speak Spanish. I mean, I don't know if we have any fluent Spanish speakers out here, but if you live in Oregon, you probably know a little bit of Spanish, right? Well, that's kind of like these kids. They know a little bit of Portuguese, but then they go into classrooms and they get bombarded all day long in Portuguese. And so the government has been quite resistant to start working on providing books for children, because there are a lot of languages in Mozambique, as many as 17 languages that all need their own books translated and their own materials and curriculum and things like that. So we, as Little Zebra Books, we were saying, how can we address this challenge? Is it possible? So we said, well, let's start with one language. We started with Nyungwe, started producing books, and started getting them into the hands of people like Veronica. And let's look at the next slide, please. And in this picture, we have somebody by the name of Ilda. And Ilda is another one of these young volunteers that works with kids on a day-by-day basis. Here you can see she's working with just a few children and helping them to learn to read, giving them individual attention. As a Christian, she shares love with these children. And that is all possible because she's got these books to put in their hands. And so, you know, we might think, oh, it's not a very spiritual thing. This is a missions convention. We want to hear about how kids are getting saved and, you know, whatever, right? That's great stuff. But actually, kids being able to grow up and learn to read in their own language, that's a very good thing. It's an act of mercy. And that's something that God is pleased with. You've got people like Veronica and Ilda that are able to work with kids in their own language and help them learn to read. So what we're seeing is these groups are springing up all over Mozambique using these books, and it's transforming children's ideas about what it means to read. For most kids in Mozambique, reading means I'm going to sound out the words, kind of like you and I might sound out Spanish or something if you're not much of a Spanish speaker. And I don't really know what I'm saying. I can read it, but I don't really know what it means. Well, that's what school is for kids in Mozambique. Well, when they work with these little zebra book groups in the communities and churches and Saturday book clubs and all the other things that are springing up, not only do they learn how to read and sound out the words, they know what those words are. So that kind of experience is the norm for kids in Mozambique. That is what class looks like. Obviously, it's not in that language because that's the language they speak. But in Portuguese, they have to laboriously go through and try to sound out the words and not actually know what they mean. But imagine the joy of hearing God's word or hearing the words off the page and having them be in your own language. And I thought what we would do right now is let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Okay. In English. I suppose if you know Latin or something else like that, you can do that. But in whatever is the language that's closest to your heart that your mother used to speak to you or that you memorize the Lord's Prayer in. Let's, say that. And just think about what feelings the saying those words in your own language evoke. So I memorized this in my little black book, which is a King James. So I say, which art in heaven, okay, and thou and everything. Like, if you do that, older version, you're welcome to do that. Otherwise, whichever version you've memorized. So let's start. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. How did that make you feel to be able to say God's word in your own language? Some of us have been saying it here in Nyungwe. It's the same words, right? It's the same meaning. But to hear it in your own language, to read it in your own language, touches your heart in a way that nothing else can. And that is the power of bringing these books to children in Africa. We're making it possible for them, for God's word to touch them in a way that wouldn't be possible otherwise. So let's look at the next slide. One of the other aspects of these books is that they help these volunteers that are working with children to address deep cultural issues, whether those be witchcraft, sorcery, black magic, satanic powers. Those kind of things are very real in Africa. Here, we're getting ready to celebrate Halloween. Ha ha, we're going to dress up in costumes and things like that, and it's a big, big joke. But it's no joke. The spiritual world is no joke in Africa. People live in constant fear of being cursed. They live in fear of evil spirits or dead ancestors coming back to curse them and haunt them because they're not bringing them enough offerings and offering enough to the witch doctor. It's a real thing for them. So these books, some of the titles that we produce, deal with specific issues like that. It's cultural issues that kids don't know what to do with. They don't have any Christian worldview to handle. And thanks to these books, they do. So, I mean, that's just a great benefit of these books, is that we're actually filling their lives with God's truth as opposed to Satan's lies. So let's look at the next slide. And this... In this slide, this is some pages from the Lord's Prayer booklet, and these are actually... Let me turn around.
These pages are part of the Lord's Prayer. It says, forgive us our sins, just as we forgive those who sin against us.
And when this first book first came out, the back page of it was a picture of the boys fighting. And the kids in Mozambique were fascinated by this. Why are they fighting? What are they doing? And they were so interested in this book, much more dramatic than a pastoral scene of a woman by a riverside or something like that. The kids want to know about the fight. Okay. And so there's another page in this book where it says, let me see what it says here. Don't let us fall into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that picture has a picture of a boy stealing an orange and running off, okay? And what these scenes are doing in connecting those with God's Word, it's allowing kids to really apply God's Word to their daily life. And so in this case, all little boys fight, right? But what this is saying is, you know, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's given an incredible way to bring the ideas of forgiveness and reconciliation and love into a culture that those terms are actually quite unfamiliar. And so the idea of forgiving somebody because they just boxed your ears or punched you or whatever is not common. And so because of that, this is another one of those ways that these books are letting kids be exposed to the gospel and be exposed to gospel truth, okay? Next slide, please. One of the most prevalent things that memories that Hillary and I have from our time in living in Mozambique is going to church on Sunday. Going to church on Sundays was a challenge, and I'm going to talk about it hopefully in a funny way at the missions banquet. So if you can go there, you'll hear me say some interesting things. But I'm not going to say those now because we're in church. But but one of the things we noticed in church is that church was a very unfriendly place for children. Most children that we saw in Mozambique would sit in the back, grass mats, they're kind of bored, looking around. The sermon doesn't really apply to them. The pastor might not even be speaking a language that they speak or understand. And so that has always been a concern for us, that the next generation is growing up without any exposure to God's Word, because Sunday school programs for children or children's church like where we have right now in Lyons at this church just doesn't exist. And what we've discovered recently is that people have started taking our books, next slide please, and using them in churches. And excuse me, the cough drop is over. So they started using these books with children in churches, and I want to tell you about one guy in particular. He's a missionary from Malawi. His name is James Nkundiza. And James is unusual in that he left Malawi as a Malawian, came to Mozambique with a specific ministry to children. And I was just so astonished when I heard there was somebody who was doing that. We found out about him because he found out about our books in Mozambique and came begging for them. Give me these books. I want to use them with our kids. So James Nkundiza, and I was just meeting with him last month, and he's making plans to bring these books into Saturday Bible clubs. And so every Saturday the kids get together, they have a chance to read God's Word, they each receive the book to take home, and then they memorize God's Word, they sing, they do all sorts of things. Then on Sunday, they come back to church and they perform whatever they learned on Saturday for all the adults. So in this photo, and I'm sorry I don't have the audio or video for you, but this is a bunch of kids that are singing the Lord's Prayer in their own language. Isn't that a beautiful thing? They're all coming in, and this is something we kind of take for granted here in the U.S. Oh, our kids are doing programs and they're learning about Jesus and everything like that. Mozambique, kids just kind of sit around under a tree and wait for mom and dad to be done. But thanks to people like James who are taking these books and launching children's clubs on Saturdays and Sunday school programs all over Mozambique. And praise the Lord. So I just want to wrap this up telling you about the Little Zebra books, and then I want to share a little bit from God's Word with you in the brief time that we have left, and tell you that the vision that we had for Mozambique, really for one language, based on, you know, trying to share God's Word with the Nyungwe people, that spread to very quickly to three languages in about a year's time, from 2012 to, or 2013 to 2014, spread to another three languages, and then two still more languages, and now I don't even want to say the number because I'm not even sure, but I think as of 2017 we've got eight or nine languages across Mozambique and now in Angola. Okay, so you can see, oh, can you switch to the slide? There's a map. Thank you. So we've been working in Mozambique, and that's where our emphasis has been. And we're now in eight or nine languages where these books are being produced and distributed. As of this year, we've distributed 500,000 books. Isn't that incredible? That's so cool. I love those big numbers. And I mean, being a guy, you know, statistics, you know, I'm like, I want 5 million books or whatever, you know. But the statistics only tell you part of the story. It's about changing children's lives, about them encountering God's word, about them doing simple things like going from a position of not even being in school to, because of these books, they are now, their parents are enrolling them in school and they're getting an education. So we have, first of all, this, Southern Africa. We have so many opportunities right now to expand. Little Zebra Books is me and Hillary and myself, okay? The two of us in an office producing books, okay? And as I'm about to tell you, because of some vision problems that came up last year, she's producing all the books currently for seven different projects and 12 different titles. It blows her mind. And we now have the opportunity to expand into countries like Angola and Zambia and Botswana and South Africa. We have so many opportunities, people. And all I can ask you is, I know you're going to give a big offering. I know, because of hearing how excited I am about this, you're going to give a lot more than you thought you were. And that's the dangerous thing about these missions conventions, because I've been in the pew and, you know, it's like, oh man, God, oh, where's my checkbook? You know, and you're going to give a lot of money, but we actually need some people to give their lives. We need people who will join us in Cape Town, one of the most beautiful countries in Africa, one of the most beautiful cities in Africa, work in our office helping us produce books. If you know how to do like digital stuff, or you're a computer design person or something, like, we can use you. If you're a fundraiser or a communications person, or you just are a business administrator or an accountant, we need those kind of skills, okay? If you think you don't have any of those kind of skills, but God's just telling you that you need to work with Little Zebra Books, talk to me, and then together we can figure out how you're supposed to be involved. So I'd say give a lot of money this week, but give your life as well, all right? And I'm glad I got to you before Michael did, because Michael, he's Irish, and he's very funny and very convincing. So I got you first. So as Cheryl was telling about the goal of $5,000, which you guys are going to exceed this year, I said, God, I think we need five people from this congregation who are going to go out and change the world. As a result of this missions convention, you're going to have $5,000 and beyond, and you're going to have five people who are going to say, God, I've got the vision, I got to go. Where is it? Okay? And don't say amen, because it might be you. And let me tell you, it makes your life difficult. So... okay, now let me tell you specifically about how the books are being used, or how your money that you're donating is going to be used. So next slide, please. We are starting a project in 2018 called the Little Zebra Books of Jesus. This is 21 titles, 21 books that are going to introduce kids, let me get the order right here, to his life, his miracles, and his teachings. So every child that you saw in those videos and those little community reading groups and those photos and things, you see them on our Facebook page or whatever else, they are all going to have a chance to know who Jesus was. Okay, what he did and what he taught in a three-year program, 21 books. I am so excited about this, but it is really a huge project. We have never produced so many books at one time. Producing 21 new titles is really going to stretch our resources financially. So when you give, you're going to help give toward this project. And kids are going to learn about the loaves and the fishes, okay, the resurrection, the Easter story, okay, all because of your giving. So thank you in advance for making this project possible. It's going to be really cool. Let me just tell you a quick thing about this, and that is I have been reluctant to share pictures of Jesus with children in Africa because I don't know what Jesus looks like to them. Okay, you know, we have that picture of Jesus standing at the door and knocking, and he's like the white hippie Jesus. And I don't really think that was appropriate for Africa. You know, so we've been actually going out to artists and saying, African artists and saying, draw us pictures of Jesus. What does Jesus look like to you? What do you imagine him doing? And the other thing we've been doing is taking all these kids in these little reading groups, and we gave them all colored pencils, and I'm so sorry I don't have pictures to show you. Go to our Facebook page, like it, and you'll see some pictures of the kids there. And they do pictures of Jesus. He's got the beard. And he's got the dress. They know somehow that Jesus does not wear pants. That somehow they've heard that, you know, through these gloves or whatever, you know. But then they make him in every color. These kids, they every picture they do is a picture of a rainbow, okay? So Jesus' outfit is just like one color after the next, okay? And it's just the most beautiful pictures. And they are going to learn more and more, not just who Jesus, what he looks like, but who he is, why he's important in our lives. So let me just switch gears here in the last couple minutes we have and just talk to you about vision and your life. And to do that, I'd like us just to read through 2 Corinthians 12. It would be a shame to be standing at the sacred desk and not read God's word. So I'm going to switch microphones. Okay, this is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Paul says this, "I must go on boasting, although there's nothing to be gained. I'll go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Amen. This passage became incredibly dear to me over the last year because I had to go through eye surgery. And in 2013, right after we started Little Zebra Books, I developed a hole in the back of my left eye. It's called a macular hole. And that affected my vision, but that was okay. I still had my right eye, okay? And then in 2016, the same thing started happening to that eye, okay? So I was able to have surgery on that right eye, get the hole closed, but it affected my vision. And so I'm incredibly nearsighted now as a result of that surgery. So I can see that there are people out there right now. Maybe with my glasses I can see you better. Not really. Okay. So I know you're out there, but I can't actually see you, things very well beyond about this distance. So when this happened, I remember thinking, how is this possible? I'm the head, I'm the director, the founder of Little Zebra Books. I'm the head of a literacy organization, and God is taking away my eyesight. It just didn't seem right to me. And I came to the job that I was doing with everything I had and expected God to provide, to take care of me, and give me the ability to do this amazing task. Okay. But this passage here in 2 Corinthians has given me just an incredible amount of insight into how God really fulfills his vision. You know, in this passage, Paul, and if you know this passage and you've studied it, it's a bit confusing. We don't know who he's actually talking about. The guy that had the vision, is that Paul or somebody else? Did Paul also have a vision? We're not too sure, okay? But I want to tell you something about visions. As I said earlier, we as humans have to have a vision. It's the only way we can live. It's the only thing that gives meaning to our lives. But here's the thing about a vision. The vision that we receive is, first of all, a vision of heaven. If you look through all the stories in the Bible, again and again, men and women received visions of heaven. The heavens opened. They saw the Lamb on the throne, okay? Isaiah, he sees the Lord high and lifted it up and his train filling the temple. So the first thing about our vision is that it's a vision of what is. Paul says this a number of times in his letters. He says, set your mind on things above. This is from Colossians 3. Set your mind on things above where Christ is, not on the things of this earth. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So the first thing I want to tell you, and as we finish our time now, is that God, if you want a vision from God, it's not a vision for this world. First of all, it is a vision of what is and what is right now in heaven. So that's why we, in our perspective, even as we were praying this morning and thinking about tragedies and disasters and crises and political turmoil in our world today, we can focus on those things. The Bible says don't do that. The Bible says set your mind on things above where Christ is. The second thing about a vision is a vision of what earth can be. You and I, through our work as ambassadors for Christ, we have the potential to change this world and make it into the image of heaven. That's what we're here for. Otherwise, God would just take us away. And the Lord's Prayer says this very well. It says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And here it is. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? So that's the vision that we have in everything that we do, all the ministries that you're involved in here in Lyons and in Haiti and around the world. That is because you see a vision of heaven and you see what earth can be. Okay? Now here's the part I don't like. And this is the thorn, okay? The thorn for me was my vision. And also I think for Paul. It seems like on the Damascus in Acts 10 that God made him blind, and then from that point on, he always had vision problems. He said, see with what large letters I write, okay? He said to one church, you would gladly tear out your eyes and give them to me if you could. So it's highly likely that his thorn was his vision. So it's something I really appreciate and can definitely identify with. But the thorn is integral to the completion of the vision. And this is very hard for me as a driven, testosterone-fueled man, okay? Because I see a job and I say, what resources do I have? What money, what abilities, what things can we bring to do this task? But God works differently. He says, I'm going to take my chosen instrument. That's the way he described Paul. He said, Paul is my chosen instrument to bring the gospel before the Gentiles and their kings, and I will show him how much he must suffer for the gospel.
Yay!
bummer. Okay, so anyhow, you are God's chosen instrument. And he has given you a vision of something he wants you to do. And then in order for that to be fulfilled, he's going to strike you with a thorn. Okay? And that is something that is, that as I've wrestled with this vision problem over the last year, I was like, God, we're just going to heal this thing and get back to work, okay? I have been unable to do a lot of the jobs that I used to do. A lot of that's transferred over to Hillary and to other people. And now I'm known as the visionary, okay? I'm just supposed to think up stuff, you know, because I can't see very well, okay? So he gives us a thorn. But the thing is, the vision, in order to fulfill the vision, it's integral for us to realize that we will never be able to do it in our own power. We live under the deception that I, as a human, can do the things that God needs done on this planet. And that's not true. Whatever you're trying to do, whether you're an usher at this church, or you're trying to live for Christ in your workplace, or you're trying to pastor a church in a new location, you're a missionary in Africa, you can't do it by yourself. And God is so convinced that you can't do it, that he's going to strike you with a thorn. I don't know what your thorn is. Maybe it's lack of faith. Maybe it's a physical difficulty. Maybe you're old, okay? Maybe, I don't know what it is. Maybe you're too young. Whatever your excuse is, you've got some thorn that's preventing you from doing that. But it's actually the key to your success. We see this in the case of Jesus. Philippians 2 said he emptied himself. Okay, took on the form of a servant. Paul, or look at Jacob, who had a vision of heaven where the ladder opened up, angels were coming up and down. He ends up wrestling with the Lord all night, and the Lord struck him on his hip, and he was never able to walk properly again. I'm just going to leave you with one image that struck me yesterday in the Fred Meyer's parking lot. Okay, and that is this. I need help crossing the street now. I'm so nearsighted that if I try to cross the street, especially the way people drive around here, I will probably get knocked down because the cars come at me too fast and I can't see them in the distance. So anytime I cross a street, I have to put my hand on somebody else's shoulder, okay, or hold somebody's hand. So yesterday, Hillary and I were shopping, and Fred Meyer's was one of my favorite things. I don't get to do that very often because I live in Africa. So, and you know the Fred Meyer's parking lot. So we were getting ready to cross, you know, the little road there, and I put my hand on Hillary, and in fact, I didn't even look at, for traffic. I just had my eyes on Hillary. And as she crossed the road, I crossed the road with her. And God spoke to me in that moment. He said, David, this is what you're doing with me. This is what you're doing with me. He says, you can't see. You are incapable of doing what I want you to do. But if you will stay close to me, you'll keep your eyes on me, I'm going to get you there. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that an awesome thought? God cares about his vision too much to allow us to attempt it on our own. So he's going to work through us. And that's where his grace is sufficient. People want to know what grace is. That's what it is. It's his strength working through our weakness. Brothers and sisters, you do not know how strong you are. And you will discover that when you realize that your weakness is your greatest strength. So I'm going to leave you with three questions. The first is, do you have a vision? Are you stuck in this world? Are you worried about your bills? Are you considering our political situation in the U.S. and around the world? Is that all you can think about, the 24-hour news cycle? Set your mind on things above where Christ is and pray for a vision of what heaven is like right now. And second, think about what your thorn is. For a lot of us, it's just an excuse to not reach out. I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I'm too busy raising my kids. I'm too young. I'm too old. What is it? What's your thorn? Identify that and thank God for it. And the final thing is, are you ready to experience God's power? Recognizing a vision for your life and the fact that the thorn in your life is a mark of his favor. Are you ready to see God do more powerful things than you can ever imagine? That's what I'm believing for. That's why God took my vision away and gave me a higher vision. He made me realize that, David, there's no way you can do this. This is expanding to so many countries, so many copies of books, and it's going to take so many resources, you can't do it. And so I'm taking over. What an incredible thought, huh? So I'm going to ask Tim to come up and pray for us. Pray for that vision. Thank you.